Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info. We'll be
It's always a privilege to come your way. Good evening and greetings to listeners all over the world, wherever you find yourself. Thank you for tuning in by radio and online. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. and I believe we are going to be blessed this evening. Last week I started the big topic of deception, the end times deception, and this evening I'm continuing. Indeed, it's very important to talk about this now. The times are really calling for such important topics to be on board because we are seeing it play out. And the most important thing is to prevent ourselves being deceived and to secure ourselves from being victims of deception. That's the reason why this all-important topic is what I'm addressing for the next few weeks. Because you hear some of the things being said and it makes you marvel that, wow, what is wrong and what is happening. But, you know, as I said last week, we've hitherto been having lower level deceivers. I mean, but now we are having advanced level deceivers. And I was talking to a prophet's friend and I was saying that, you see, now what we have are the professors in deception are coming on board. So we have to be well equipped to really be able to resist and to insulate ourselves from being victims of such schemes. All right. Thank you for tuning in. And let's first get into the news. We've had an interesting and tension-filled week in the Middle East. Last week, Saturday, whilst the program was going on, attacks from Iran, over 300 missiles and drone attacks, but largely they were all, you know, shut down by the US and Israeli defense systems and all that. So, well, it ended, but then it was obvious that the tension was high. Israel was going to retaliate and America had to warn Israel not to do so. But then, lo and behold, this week there was a show. Israel. Very interesting how this whole thing is playing out. But let's get into the news. Let's start with this one. USA vetoes Palestine votes, which denies them to be UN full membership. So the United States vetoed a draft resolution at the UN Security Council, which recommended granting the state of Palestine full membership in the United Nations. The veto on Thursday by Israel's main political and military backer had been expected ahead of the votes. And indeed, they did. U.S. vetoed, so denying the Palestinian state from becoming a full member nation or state at the UN level. Then Israel strikes Iran, and defense officials confirm. So the long-distance aircraft fired missiles that struck Iranian Air Force assets at Isfahan in central Iran early Friday morning, the Jerusalem Post has confirmed. Meanwhile, two Israeli defense officials and three Iranian officials confirmed to the New York Times that Israel was involved. The report came shortly after local sources reported explosions in Isfahan. In central Iran, in the Al-Suwayda governorate of southern Syria, and in the Baghdad area and Babil governorate area of Iran and Iraq, there were also explosions. And the suspect, that one too, is from Israel. A U.S. official then told CNN that Iranian target was not nuclear. And videos from Isfahan appear to show Iranian air defenses activated in the skies over the area. A senior U.S. official also confirmed this on Friday morning of the attack, stating, "We were not surprised." While also, it came out that Israel informed the U.S. ahead of the attacks. I listened to one security expert, U.S. security expert, who said that Iran is surprised because, you know, they had their defense systems. They knew they could intercept any Israeli moves towards Iran, but against Israel. But for Israel to successfully go deep into the territory of Iran and drop bombs without being noticed and being shot down or shot at, is a big warning. And see, the area where they went was close to a nuclear site. So I'm sure Israel intentionally didn't attack the nuclear site, but they gave them a warning shot, a close shave, to see that if we say we can do it, we can do it. And this is really a wake-up call to Iran that when Israel says they can attack their nuclear facilities without being stopped, it is very possible. Now, last week, or in the course of the week after the Israel invasion by the Iranian invasion, the missiles and all that, by Sunday morning, they issued a statement through the UN that it was over. But if Israel makes any move, then a bigger attack will be launched and all that. Now, Israel does this move, and Iran seems to downplay it, and it's like people are saying, well, people thought it was going to really shake the system. Iran was going to now come up with the big attack, but it's like after this attack, you've seen that this fight, if you are not careful, but well, it's early days yet, so at least for now there's peace, quote unquote peace in the Middle East for now, but the tension is still there because anything can happen at any time. Well, strangely, we have this protest spread as anti-Israel agitators shut down traffic and disrupt cities across the U.S. And it's amazing the level of support the Palestinians are having in the U.S. and in the U.K. And it's like, I mean, every Saturday and other days, they are in London, there's protests here and there on the weekends. And it's like, wow. But see, this hatred for Jews, it's the anti-Semitism and the hatred for Jews, it's spreading seriously. But, well, Jesus talked about this, you know. If you read Matthew 24, let me just quickly glance through that. It's one of the prophecies about the end time. You know, when Jesus said that you'll be hated of all nations for my sake. That hatred is what, so Matthew 24:9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Hated for all nations, I mean all nations. And we are beginning to see this hatred of Jews, and by extension, because Christians largely support the country Israel, this hatred will extend beyond the Jews onto the Christians as well. And it's a gradual thing. I mean, it just shows the season we are in. And see, we've never seen this level of grand hatred against Jews. Yes, the Jews have been hated before in parts of Europe, but it wasn't the way, of course, that one they killed. I mean, the Jews were killed and all that. Subsequently, the swastika, the Nazi symbol, has been outlawed in several countries. It's illegal to display it in some places and all. But now there is a resurgence of people have started using it. Recently in UK, it was being used in one of the protests. A Jew made a report to the police, and the police said, well, it's subject to, you know, it's like, it's more of based on the context of the usage. You know, something which has been outlawed, I mean, it's more of like an abomination to use the Hitler symbols and all. But now, people are gladly bringing out these symbols, attacks. I mean, they spray graffitis on walls, Jewish synagogues. You know, the hatred is just increasing. And, well, we are just in open season where these things will keep increasing till we get to the very point where it's like a global thing. Jews are hated, Christians are hated because of the God they serve, the factor of God. And that God factor is what is going to cause this whole thing, because we are largely getting into the season where the hatred for God, anything God, is becoming very obvious in some countries. People are becoming more anti-God. They just don't want to do anything to God, anything to do with God, Christian, Jesus. No. They just don't want to hear it. And this was manifested in Australia, where an Australian bishop, Mary Emmanuel, this bishop, Assyrian bishop in Australia, was attacked by a young guy, 15-year-old teenager. So Assyrian bishop who was stabbed while preaching forgives attacker. And so it was live streaming during the service, and then this young boy wearing all black pulls out and walks to the stage, pulls a knife and attacks this pastor or this bishop. And so an Australian bishop who was stabbed in the middle of a sermon during a church service on Monday and is recovering in the hospital has forgiven his alleged attacker. But this is not an alleged, it was seen on camera. Bishop Mary Emmanuel has been in hospital since he was stabbed by a 15-year-old male whilst in the middle of a live stream service at the Assyrian Christ the God Good Shepherd Church in Wakili. A 39-year-old priest was also allegedly stabbed after attempting to intervene. Other churchgoers were hurt in the scuffle. All are expected to make full recoveries. We thank God for that. And, you know, after that, there were protests on the streets of Australia. The church and that area and all that. But the man said, there's no need to be worried or concerned. And a piece of advice to all our beloved faithfuls. I need you to act Christ-like. The Lord Jesus never taught us to fight. The Lord Jesus never taught us to retaliate. The Lord Jesus never said to us an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, unquote. And that is it. So, you know, it says we are Christians and we need to act like it. So that's it. He was attacked, but he's forgiven the attacker. And they are going to, this is the second knife attack in a week in Australia. Last 2 weeks, someone under Mantu just attacks using knife, killing 6 people, I think. You know, they have very strong and strict gun controls in Australia. But see, so then knife becomes, for knife there's no knife control. It's available everywhere. So that's what now the terrorists then decide to use. All right. Christian woman killed by son and daughter-in-law for refusing to return to Islam. So a Muslim man in eastern Uganda is suspected of killing his mother last week by putting pesticide in her food for refusing to leave her Christian faith, a relative said. Sulaina Nabiri, 50, of Kamuli, in the Kamuli district, put her faith in Christ February 10th, and since then her 31-year-old son had tried to persuade her to return to Islam, said a relative whose name is withheld for security reasons. During the month of Ramadan, she complained of her son pressuring her to stop attending church and revert back to Islam since he was studying to become an imam at the Mugembe Mosque. The relative said, when she refused to convert back to Islam, he stopped visiting her at her house and threatened to chase or even kill her. Nabiri fears led to the source to make frequent visits, praying with and encouraging her to withstand the threats. She had peace and joy and was encouraged by a sermon from the pastor, the source said. The threats from Nabiri's son, Arajabu Makibi, intensified during the Ramadan. And the source was present when Makibi visited April 9th to tell Nabiri that his wife would prepare dinner for them. At 7 p.m., he came with food, which he gave to us, and he left. The relative said, I was praying and fasting, so I did not eat the food. Shortly after eating the food, Sulaina started vomiting. and then followed diarrhea. I tried what I could, but things were worsening. I called a nearby clinic officer who came with medication. He tried to put her on drip, but all was in vain. Naburi died that night, 2 a.m., or the next morning, 2 a.m., the 10th April. The relatives' bitter weeping and wailing at Naburi's death alerted neighbors who arrived to learn of the tragedy. The source had the food tested at a medical clinic and discovered that it contained methanol, a toxic alcohol used as an industrial solvent and pesticide. Wow. To kill your own mother on religious reasons? Wow, wow, wow. Okay. This case, we've said it, I've said it here so many times, it's not going away. Supreme Court of Finland to hear hate speech charges against Christian MP over Bible tweets. You can see that the prosecutor is so full of evil, because this case is that it's going to the highest level now. The Supreme Court of Finland confirmed Friday that Finnish parliamentarian Ravi Rasinen will face trial a third time over her five-year-old Bible verse tweet that criticized the Finnish Lutheran Church for promoting LGBT Pride Month. So it was tried at the local court and she was acquitted and discharged. The prosecutor took it to the appeals court. She was acquitted and discharged. And now the prosecutor says no, still going pursuing to the Supreme Court. And I trust that the Supreme Court will do justice and acquit her and discharge her. And that will be for good, because Supreme Court is the highest level. Unless the prosecutor will then further go on to the EU courts. I mean, but the way the prosecutor is behaving, I'll not be surprised if he still pushes further to the EU, because the hatred is just too strong. Rasinen, who led Finland's Christian Democratic Party from 2004 to 2015 and served as the country's interior minister from 2011 to 2015, is being dragged into court again despite having been acquitted twice by lower courts on hate crime charges, according to a statement from lawyers at the Alliance Defending Freedom International. Police began investigating the grandmother of Levin shortly after her 2019 tweet, in which she posted a photo from the Book of Romans and questioned how the Finnish Lutheran Church could agree with shame and sin being presented as a matter of pride. Investigators also dredged up a pamphlet. Listen to this part. A pamphlet she published in 2004. We are in 2024. 20 years ago, she published it with Bishop Johanna Pujoba of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland, titled "Male and Female He Created Them: Homosexual Relationships Challenge the Christian Concept of Humanity." True and correct. This is true and correct. In April 2021, after subjecting her to 13 hours of interrogation over several months, Finland's prosecutor general used Rasinen's tweet pamphlet and a radio interview to charge her with 3 counts of agitation against a minority group, which falls under the umbrella of the war crimes and crimes against humanity section in Finland or Finnish law. Pujoba was also charged for having published Rasinen's pamphlet 2 decades ago. The Helsinki Court of Appeal unanimously acquitted Rasinen and Pujoba in November, which followed a similar acquittal by the 3-judge District Court of Helsinki in March 2022. The state prosecutor is appealing the acquittal a third time on 2 of the charges, demanding that the 2 face tens of thousands of euros in fines and that their work be censored. Rasinen's next court date has not yet been determined. The situation has drawn international media attention and prompted outrage from human rights experts. In my case, the investigation has lasted almost 5 years, has involved untrue accusations, several long police interrogations, totaling more than 13 hours, preparations for court hearings, the district court hearing, and the hearing at the appeals court, Rasinen said in a statement. This was not just about my opinions, but about everyone's freedom of expression. I hope that with the ruling of the Supreme Court, others would not have to undergo the same ordeal. I have considered it a privilege and an honor to defend the freedom of expression, which is a fundamental right in a democratic state, she added. Paul Coleman, executive director of ADF International, likened Rasmussen's case to something from the Middle Ages and warned of creeping censorship afflicting the historically free nations of Europe. In a democratic Western nation in 2024, nobody should be on trial for their faith. Yet, throughout the prosecution of Rav Paiji Rasmussen and Bishop Pojola, we have seen something akin to a heresy trial, where Christians are dragged through court for holding beliefs that differ from the approved orthodoxy of the day, Coleman said. The state's persistence in going after Rasmussen and Pojola for nearly half a decade, despite multiple acquittals, is alarming, Coleman said, fearing the process is the punishment in such instances, resulting in a chill of free speech for all citizens observing. Their right to speak freely is everyone's right to speak freely, he added. European governments have increasingly clamped down on speech critical of homosexuality in recent years. Early this month, France's gender equality minister, Aurore Berge, called for the prosecution of Father Mathieu Raffray, a Roman Catholic priest who drew the ire of the state for describing homosexual inclinations as a weakness that must be fought like any other sin. In Malta, Matthew Gretsch faced criminal charges under the country's conversion therapy ban last year for giving his Christian testimony about living homosexual lifestyle on radio show. The radio hosts who gave him the platform were also charged. Hey, some countries are suffering, speaking about proposed anti-hate speech legislation in Ireland that would apply to sexual orientation. ADF CEO Christine Wagona told the Christian Post in December that her organization perceives a global trend towards censorship. Let me repeat. The Christian Post in December, she told Christian Post in December that her organization perceives, quote, a global trend towards censorship, unquote. This I agree, and this is true, and this is happening, this is unfolding. And it is not just a disregard for free speech, it's an active targeting to silence speech by the government, she said, adding that the United States is not immune to such trends despite the U.S. Constitution. And this is where the worry is, because even countries like the U.S., where you think their constitution is founded on the Bible and you have the laws on their side of Christians and all, but seems the system is fighting vehemently, the media, the big tech companies and all are on the side of the LGBT camp. So Christians are the ones who seem to be the targets of such, hatred. You rather say, they say it's hate speech, but it's direct hatred from their side, because if the level of abuse and the force and the venom that they exhibit or they pour out on Christians, is a bigger form of hatred. But, well, theirs is accepted, because they will say they are the minority group and Christians are attacking them. And this is very worrying, but these are the times we live in when you see and hear these things. Fortunately for us in a country like Ghana, we are blessed not to be under restrictions such as, the LGBT thing. Our parliament has passed the bill, and we all know the government is shying away from signing it. It's now in court, and until they rule it, well, we don't know when the government will sign it. The church is putting pressure on the government. This week, I think I saw another church to call on the president to sign it and all that. But interesting. This bill is the content of it, the punishment and all that, is compared to Uganda's and Nigeria's. Ours is on the lower side, but they make it look like ours is like some extreme. The punishment in Uganda and Nigeria, ours is much, much, much lower. But, the powers that be, and I mean the world system, the IMF, the World Bank, the donor nations and countries, when you are living as a poor person begging all the time, and they are giving you money and loans and grants and assistance for your budget support and all that. When they cough, then you are shaking because you fear that if you go and do something which they've commented against, you know they are not happy, they've already started making noise about it. You don't want to tread on those dangerous areas where they will say that, well, then we are cutting our budgetary support, or we are withholding some grants or some loans and some donations or donor funding and all that stuff. So I believe that's one of the critical points that is keeping us where we are in terms of the government playing ostrich, as if they don't know. They know that Ghanaians are in favor of it being signed, but you know, because of monetary issues, economy and all, they are being careful about it. All right, we get to this news where it says in Florida, DeSantis, that's the governor, say Satanists cannot be part of school chaplain program. Hey, you go to a school fire and then the chaplain see you have a Satanist as well. So the governor is against it. He says they can't be part of the school chaplain program and the Satanic Temple response. So the co-founder of the Satanic Temple challenged Florida government Ron DeSantis to a debate on religious freedom in America after the governor said this week that Satanists couldn't be part of a school chaplain's program. I mean, now they've become so emboldened, something that they used to, you know, used to be practiced in the dark, in the thick nights, dark nights, when people are asleep, they practice their crafts. Now they come out boldly and they openly do displays in public. Wow. It shows how times have changed, that now Satanists are so bold. I mean, they don't hide. They don't hide again in the shadows. They are proud. I remember seeing one of those anti-Trump protests and like witches against Trump. And you know, when you see those things, like, you know, years back, witchcraft in much years earlier, in the early centuries, you know, witchcraft was abomination where people were killed for being witches in Europe and all. I mean, witchcraft has not been something that is glorified and, you know, people are proud. But now, online, social media, people are, you see girls who are, I mean, are proud to be witch and they are this and they are, I mean, wow, what has happened to this world? Evil is now openly glorified and it's as if it's the best thing you can be in. They are recruiting, I mean, the youth, the teenagers in schools with all sorts of programming and all that. And like, witches are no longer hiding. And wow, interesting times indeed. Then this last news item says, trans-identified students arrested for allegedly planning school shooting. And he was aiming to set world record for kills. So Montgomery County police have charged 18-year-old trans-identified high school student in connection with plans to commit school shooting. And he had his memoir. He's written it in 100-something page document, his plans and schemes and all that, aiming to kill the highest ever school shootings to ever happen in America, in the world, a world record. How can you think of setting a world record in killing innocent children, primary school children? Because he wrote that they are easy targets. So he had both high school and primary school as his targets, but the primary school one is much easier. I mean, come on. I mean, this is clearly a highly demonized person to think of such. Wow, interesting times. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this short break.
And may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you peace. Enjoy the Sunday afternoon. You're dismissed.
Wasn't that a great sermon?
Dion, let's go.
Oh, there's the... Let's see how they're doing.
No, let's go.
Why? Are we doing something this afternoon?
I just want to hear a sermon and go. If we hang around here too long, then somebody might ask us to something.
Is that so bad?
I don't want to spend all day at church. I came, I listened, I sang. Now, come on, let's go.
Dear, we are part of this body of believers. We should be doing something.
Can't we be a part body but not a...
Roof?
Yeah, no.
Look, I just want to ask John if he found a job yet.
John's out of work?
Yeah, the last 4 months. He told me at the men's breakfast last week.
How's Sarah taking it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I should talk to her.
I thought we just wanted to go home.
How can you think of bolting out of here when people need to be encouraged?
I didn't.
Sometimes you just don't think.
Me?
Oh, shush.
Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Oh, boy, interesting. You started the accusation and now, wow, interesting. Okay, well, welcome to Spirit Issues. Spirit FM, the program is Issues of Life, and you can listen to the recorded editions, dishes on spiritissues.info. And, amen. All right, so last week, started this interesting discussion on deception, the end time deception. And you know, there's one thing we have to understand about deception. It thrives on ignorance and lack of knowledge and spiritual growth. This is the fundamental or the foundation upon which deception really does well. Lack of knowledge about the Word of God, lack of spiritual growth, you know, and this is the reason why it's even worrying in our time, because we have a high number of believers who, last week I talked about people, the basic Bible stories, even adults are struggling to know, like someone who's been in church for years didn't know that the twins Esau and Jacob were twins. And it's like, wow. You see, the basic Bible stories, Cain and Abel, I mean, Jacob, Esau, Isaac, Abraham, Moses, Noah, all these stories, Abraham, Lot, all these ones, it will seem like, oh, these are Bible stories, I mean, for Sunday school children and all that. But it will amaze you that you hear things being said which is not true from these same things. Example, I mean, you hear a man of God was saying, a Nigerian man of God was saying that Noah built the ark by his own initiative. God didn't tell him to build the ark. And it's like, and that day when I intentionally said it home, and one of my children, the little one, the last one, is how? Because you see, this is a basic story that the children even know. Right? It's God who instructed Noah to build the ark, and it's in the Bible. I mean, it's written as it is. It's God who gave him the dimensions, the type of wood and all that. And yet a pastor was saying that Noah built it by his own, on his own. God didn't ask him to build. You see, so when such things are said from the pulpit, and when it's being said, the members are nodding their heads, it's like, wow, in agreement with what it tells you, that the people lack the basic fundamental knowledge of the Word of God. We are not even talking of like revelational knowledge, something that you, I mean, wild revelation, deep revelation, enlightened Holy Spirit revealing something to you, the rima in the Word. No. We are not talking of any high level something. Just the basic Bible stories written as it is in the Bible. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, these basic ones. Even that people are being deceived about or being deceived with. I mean, you see, that's how serious it is. See, so if we lack knowledge about even these fundamental stories, and the question this week, one pastor said something, which I agree with him, that you see, when the church, in this case, I don't mean every church, but a significant part of modern day Christianity decided to ditch or put the Old Testament aside and concentrate only on the New Testament, and we have all these doctrines that push that beyond in the New Testament era, so that should be the focus, I mean, of the church. The old is old, I mean, so that one. And you know, the funny and ironical thing about those who make this assertion is, when they want blessings, sermons on blessings and verses on blessings, then they run to the Psalms and they run to the Isaiah and those 9 verses, and they use it for those things, and yet they would have issues against the Old Testament. You see, we cannot put the Old Testament away and aside. actually, the more you read the Old Testament, the more you see Christ in the Old Testament. You see, because it's like the foundation starts from there. The prophecies of Christ are in the Old Testament, and they were fulfilled in the New Testament. So how can we downplay the Old Testament as if it's not necessary? The moral lessons, the Bible stories, so many things, the prophecies, the blessings, the principles, I mean, so many things in the Old Testament. How can we say the Old Testament is not necessary? So because of some of these teachings, some people have unconsciously bought into it and have lost interest in the Old Testament. So they don't even read it again. They don't want to waste time on the Old Testament. But you see, this is what I want someone to learn, that we should be careful, because the lack of it, the lack of knowledge about what is there in the Bible, in the Old Testament, makes you a victim of the deception that is being pushed. Because you see, just as it is, if you don't know what is there, the story that is there about Noah, you've not really read it yourself to understand what God, the discussion God had with Noah, and what the instruction he gave him. If you are told that it's Noah who built it himself, you will believe it, because you don't know. Maybe you read it long, you've forgotten what is there, you've forgotten what you read. You see, so knowledge of the word is fundamental to be able to resist the deception. It doesn't matter who is saying it, you see, and we'll be looking at a number of keys that, you see, one is the trust of our leaders. Like, so you have believers who have so much trust for our leaders that even when they make a mistake, we don't, even when we know it's a mistake, we don't want to accept that it's a mistake. We want to overlook it and convince ourselves that, oh, our leader cannot make a mistake. Yes, mistakes can happen. But then when you have glaring doctrinal errors which are intentionally being pushed and sustained and repeated, it's no longer a mistake. This is then an agenda to entrench on something. You see, so when consistently you have a leader that you support or you follow and whatever, making assertions which are obviously in error, not just once, but keeps doing it, keeps repeating, and extending and saying more and more and more errors, and then you should know something is wrong, something is not right. Then you have to advise yourself, you see. But then we become so glued to the fact that we trust this person, so no matter what, we would go with him. No. You see, if it was so, Jesus would not have warned us. So let's get into the Bible and read some one or two things that Jesus said himself. And see, this is the importance of being Bible readers and Bible students, because then is the word of God that becomes your anchor in your decision making and your whatever you do. Because you see, when you get to Matthew 24, Jesus was specific about the times that we are in. So when he says that many will be deceived, we should not make the mistake and think, oh, I'm exempted, I can never be deceived. Oh, as for me, no matter what, I'll never be deceived. No. We should never see ourselves above deception. You see, so he says it 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. That means be careful, be cautious, be alert that no man deceives you. 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. These many false prophets who shall arise and shall deceive many, these many who will be deceived because they believed and trusted fully in the men of God. They didn't give room to the first warning that take heed that no man deceives you. They ignored that warning that take heed that no man deceives you, and they allowed themselves to be deceived. 24:11. You see, so Jesus has warned that we should be careful no man deceives us. No man means no man. It doesn't matter who the person is, whether it's your, you've loved the person for years, you've been under his feet for years, you followed his ministry for years, take heed. So if you see traits of deception that you know that you are being deceived, why should you still hold on to the deception and still follow and still be there thinking, oh, there's nothing wrong? One thing we should know, the devil will not waste time to deceive us if he hasn't got any benefit from it. He's going to benefit from it. That's why he's deceiving us. If the devil has no interest, has no dividend in the rewards of being deceived, or we being deceived, why that whole effort to get as many men of God to be deceivers? Jesus says many means many. Why that effort to recruit and to deceive, to entrap, to enslave, to whatever, get as many agents to be agents in the kingdom of God to deceive God's children? Why that effort if it doesn't matter, if the devil doesn't stand to gain? You see, he has an ultimate aim: to deceive us, to cause us to derail from the right path. So we cannot trust people to the point where, even when we know, we are sure, we are fully aware that we are being deceived, we still hold on to the fact that, oh, as for me, no matter what, I'll trust that till I die. I mean, that's wrong. Jesus never said that we should ignore being deceived. He says, take heed. So anyone who is taking heed and is watching and is alert will not fall for it. Because he said, take heed. So if we take heed, that means we'll spot the deception. We'll be able to identify it. We'll be able to see the signals. And we'll be able to advise ourselves. So the first principle, or the first key we can look at, is we should be measured in our trust of any man, there's no exception. We should be measured in our trust of any man of God, any woman of God, any leader, any spiritual leader. We should be careful of our trust. It doesn't mean we shouldn't trust anyone at all, but we should be careful of how we trust. So yes, it's like you are trusting, but one eye, you are careful in case something starts going wrong. You can identify and spot the deception. Because you see, the reason why we have to abide by some of these principles is to ensure that we are guarding ourselves. We are proof, deception proof believers. Because you see, the thing is coming. We've been warned that deception will come. The wisest thing any believer can do, who believes the words of Jesus, is to ensure that they become deception proof. But to see these warnings and hear these warnings by Jesus and still go on to be deceived means you didn't take heed. Because for some, over trusting their leaders, they will be exposed to the deception. And that is exactly what is happening when you see people in churches, like where they are being told, not that the pastor made a mistake once, but consistently is twisting the Bible. The same pastor who said that Noah built the ark by himself, keeps saying wild things, and you just clearly know that this man is just deceiving the people consistently. It's not just one error, but consistently the man is in error. And it's like, so why are the people still going to church every Sunday? They are happy. They love it. They love his messages. They love him to the point where you see, if you see the comments, defending the man. In the midst of all the errors and the lies and the deception, the people, his followers, are still defending him. This is trust which has gone beyond reasonable levels. Because at least reflect on what others are saying and see if there's any reasonability, any sense in what they are saying. Take the Bible for yourself and read. Take the Bible for yourself. Your pastor says this, others are saying that. you take the Bible and look at the doubts that the others are saying, whether indeed it's true, they are right or not. But people, no, they will not. They just, so far the pastor said it, it is fine now. It overrules any other thing someone says. Even when you quote the Bible, they say no, their pastor is right. The pastor has a deep revelation. So he is operating from a deep spiritual revelation, and you are just carnal and just quoting Bible. Oh, God, help your children. You know, you see, this is where the problem is. We've gotten to a point where some men of God, people are just as if there should always be some wild revelation. People are seeking to bring some wild revelation that no one has said before, no one has revealed. And you see, in the quest to be chasing after this revelation, wild divine revelation in the word of God that no one has said before, they become philosophers, I mean, saying things which are not biblical and in error, you know, just to, you know, please their listeners, please their followers, please their congregations. You see, so people are just following blindly. So even when the error is thrown at them, because of their super trust, they can't even perceive it. And this is one thing we should warn ourselves against and guard ourselves against, because no one is immune to deception. Unless you really work on it to protect yourself against it, we can all be exposed to deception in one way or the other. When we lose our guard, we can be exposed. Okay, I have a few messages. This one says, okay, but even any pastor who puts the Old Testament aside and use only the New Testament, I don't think he is a pastor. God have mercy. Greetings to you. You see, we can't put the Old Testament aside. I mean, how can we put the Old Testament aside? But it's happening. This evening, one encouragement I'll give every listener, or give to every listener, is let's start reading the Bible as if we are going to write an exam from it. Let's start reading it as if we are going to write an exam. You see, we can have two types of reading, basically two types of reading. Just reading it casually. You are just reading just for the knowledge of it, just to know something, the stories, just read. People should just start reading it again to acquaint themselves of the basic stories in the Bible. Coming from the Genesis, all through the stories, the Joseph, the Noah, all those basic stories, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Esau. Just acquaint yourself with these basic fundamentals. Not seeking any wild revelations, just reading. That's different from you are really studying the word of God and all that. You are waiting on the Holy Spirit to teach you something and all that. Let's start with the basics. Let's start reading the word of God so that we have the word of God in us, the basic level. Let's get it in us. Because it's sad and uncomfortable and disappointing and worrying when basic stories, people struggle, adults struggle with it. Because when these pastors say these things and you listen to the responses from the congregation, it tells you a lot. Because how can you be told that Abraham is not the father of Isaac and you say, wow? I mean, what type of Christian are you? What sort of believer are you? I mean, because you see, for you to say wow means you are amazed. It's a revelation that you didn't know, so now you know. But I mean, how can you accept that revelation, so-called new divine revelation, whatever, from your man of God, when the word of God has stated clearly that the father of Isaac is Abraham? So you see, this is where the trust issue. They trust their men of God to the point where when they say something that is contrary to the word of God, they rather choose to stand with their man of God and his error than to believe in what the word of God has clearly stated. So this is where the issue is. So it's all about what he said or what she said. Once it comes from their hero or heroine, that is it. That one supersedes the written word of God. So it doesn't matter what the Bible says. I mean, and Abraham begat Isaac, they don't care about that one. So far as the man says Abraham is not the father of Isaac, they believe it. They won't verify it. They won't check it. Even when you say it's not true, they say no. The pastor is having revelation. He's speaking from revelational knowledge. You are just reading carnally. So you just see it as it is. You don't understand deep things. I mean, this is how far Christianity has gotten to. In the abundance of knowledge, the word of God, various versions, commentaries, study Bibles, and all the good teachings around, people still choose to follow the deception. And it's my prayer that as you listen to this program, you listen to Spirit FM, this station and all that, you would not allow yourself to be a victim of deception in any form and in any way. Because, as I started saying last week, the deception, we are going to hear wild things as time progresses. Things we've never imagined we can hear. We are going to hear them. And that is the seriousness of the times we are in. Okay, this one says that deception actually starts from theology school and seminaries. This is a pastor, someone who told me that when he was in Bible school, some of the assignments they were asked to go and do. Once he said they were asked to go and do research, they go to a malam to go and do interview. Hey, interview a malam. As you're in Bible school, you are going to interview a malam. For what? For what? He says, I agree with him. During our master's program, one British professor claimed that looking at the biblical prophecy on the virgin birth, it could not have been Mary. I mean, you see, this is an example from, he's a regular listener and a friend. You see, this is, and I agree with him to some extent, because the people who are deceiving, some have been deceived, and they are also now passing on the deception that they've inherited. And that's where the seriousness comes in, you see. So that's why we really, really have to know the word of God for ourselves. And I believe as we have this renewed mindset to start reading the Bible for ourselves, let's get back to the basics. When we start reading it ourselves, then we would start arming ourselves against being deceived. God willing, next week I'll be continuing this series, and we'll be looking at a number of points, the keys. Tonight we looked at the first one being the issue of trust. We should be measured in our trust of whoever is leading us in the word of God, anywhere, whether radio, TV, in church, whatever. Thank you for listening to Issues of Life. This is Eben. This is recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group. And I trust that you listen to it and share it and be blessed. God willing, next week, I'll be coming your way. Good night.
You're listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.